We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Joseph, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be doing a recap broadcast with Rabbi Eli Tauger, who's a translator of the first volume of Likutei Sichos, a monumental work, bringing the work of the Lubavitcher Rebbe into the hands of the English reading, the English only reading public. It was a great interview, and I'm sure you'll like it. We've got lots of wonderful music. Not to scare you that we opened off with an a cappella piece, but it was a brand new a cappella piece, and I figured I'd give him a couple of seconds on it, but we're not a cappella this week. Tisha B'Av was last week, it's gone. We don't have to worry about a cappella music again until next Passover. The portion of the week which we'll be talking about in the second week is the portion of Akev, which can be found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. We've got a wonderful story, quite poignant, at the end, all the way, stay all the way to the end of the show. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. At least three terrorists from Hezbollah tried to enter Israel from Lebanon. IDF soldiers opened fire on the terrorists who fled back into Lebanon. An Israeli surveillance drone crashed into southern Lebanon and suppose try and track these guys down. Israeli border guards shot down a bomb balloon headed for southern Israel from Gaza. This is the first balloon in a month. In related news, the Israeli Navy captured a Hamas terrorist who was trying to swim from Gaza to Israel. You could do that because they're like right next to each other. That's like swimming from, say, Oak Park to Southfield if there was like some body of water in between them. The security guard in a synagogue in Mariupol, Ukraine, overpowered a man armed with an axe who broke into the compound shouting, "Where's the synagogue?" The intruder slightly wounded the guard, who managed to wrestle the weapon away from him. No one else was injured in the incident. Also in Europe, dozens of headstones were smashed at a Jewish cemetery in St. Petersburg, Russia. And closer to home, a swastika and other graffiti were spray-painted on several buildings, including the Waxman Torah Center and a shopping strip club in a heavily Jewish University Heights, Cleveland area. A member of Shomrim in Borough Park, that's the civilian patrol service, was slashed in the leg by four gang members as he tried to save a Jewish man from an assault. Three of the four were arrested. A Jewish special needs adult from Brooklyn was attacked with a rock. He was treated at a local hospital and released. The UN named Miguel Moratinos as the first ever UN monitor of anti-Semitism. In his new position, Moratinos, a former Spanish foreign affairs minister, will be responsible for enhancing a system-wide response at the United Nations to longtime anti-Semitism. Let's watch that one. And finally, Israel donated three water generators that create drinking water up to 5,000 liters a day by pulling humidity out of the air. 95% of Gaza's groundwater is unfit for drinking. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Eli Tauger, who is a translator of a recent volume of Likuti Sichas. These are collected talks of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which originally printed in Yiddish or Hebrew or a mixture of both, now out in English. How are you today, Eli?
Thank God.
Good to hear. We're really glad you were able to take some time and talk to us today. Okay, so describe the scene of a Verbrengen, which was a Hasidic gathering in which the Rebbe would, for all intents and purposes, teach people.
First of all, it was not only a time of teaching. When a person gives a lecture, he's standing trying to convey an idea. Here, the Rebbe was conveying an experience. It was Matan Torah. The truth is, that's every time a Talmud Chacham speaks.
If you could use English words only, please.
Okay, sure. It was just like Mount Sinai. Anytime a Torah scholar imparts a lesson to his audience, it says, and whatever an experienced sage teaches was given at Mount Sinai. But when the Rebbe spoke, you had a conscious experience that we're going back to Sinai. Here are words of Torah, live, real, from this moment, that happened at this moment. It wasn't only that the environment was set for that. Like thousands of people in the room focused only on the Rebbe. He came in with an aura. When you were in his presence, you felt, oh, this is Shechina. This is divine presence speaking from his throat. As it says, the divine presence spoke from Moshe's throat. That's true of every time, but we felt it.
Okay. So that sounds very, it's like a very powerful medium for conveying of ideas. So the Rebbe would talk, and ideas would be conveyed, and so... Then what happened after the Verbrengen?
Well, Verbrengen took between 2.5 to 4 hours, sometimes the longer Verbrengens were 6 hours. Most of the Verbrengens were given on Shabbos. There were weekday Verbrengens from time to time, but mostly Shabbos and Yontif. And here was a very special thing. We had a couple of people, Yoel Kahn in particular, who were focused on the Rebbe's words. They would go home right after Verbrengen to review that with a group of rollers, a couple of students. Then at night, Avyol would sit with 20, 30 students, and he would repeat the words, basically, those 2.5 hours of speech, he would go over more or less by heart. Phenomenal ability.
So he had an autographic memory.
Yeah, a photographic memory, or if he's carrying a photographic memory, if you follow what I mean.
Yes.
And from there, the people then start to write it down. So those sikhs were given over mostly what we call hanachos, transcripts.
And those were basically just edited transcripts of what the people heard, and we assume they had a certain authority because of the nature of the abilities of people to remember what the Rebbe said.
Right. I mean, as you said, they weren't just any person just giving his recollection. These were specific people who had specific abilities, but the Rebbe didn't edit them. Then, at several different points, the Rebbe put out what's called Likuti Sichos. In other words, they would take a select group of scribes, would take these talks, which were these transcripts, fuse 2 or 3 of them together at times, and take other teaching which Rebbe had given in letters or in previous talks, bring out, make it not only a speech per se, an address, but an intellectual composition. How should you put it? He was still dealing with the pasuk. He was still dealing with the Gemara. It wasn't an encyclopedic treatment of the subject, but it was formed as an article, a written piece, as opposed to a spoken word.
Mm-hmm. And those were edited by the Rebbe. The Rebbe did review those.
Yeah, and those were edited by the Rebbe. Went back and forth between the scribes and the Rebbe two or three times, and the Rebbe would make his own comments, change, fix. You know, we had an art experience. Well, he would sometimes rip up the whole order, start all over again. Again, sometimes he would just let it out as it was. You know, it was a very interesting process each week. How much he put into it, how much effort he put in actually editing the text.
Okay. So then those would come out weekly as, say, like a pamphlet for the portion of the week.
Yeah.
Like we talk every week on the Jewish Hour here, we give a little insight into the portion of the week. And I'm going to divulge a little secret, is that many of those insights are actually taken from the collected works of those pamphlets. And I can just take the idea out and I say it in 5 minutes, whereas it's usually a whole lot more than I'm not saying than I am saying to get it into 5 minutes, but because of time constraints. Okay, so then we have these little pamphlets, and then eventually, after a certain number of pamphlets were printed, they bound them and put them into books.
Correct.
Okay, so that we have...
slight further editing process, but nothing serious.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now, sometime, you can remind me of the year. I think maybe it was 1978. It was suddenly realized that there are a whole lot of people that are really interested in knowing what the Rebbe was saying, but there was a massive barrier because the Rebbe only spoke in Yiddish publicly, and these collected works were therefore transcribed into, at first, Yiddish, and then later on it was done into Hebrew, but you still have this is American. America people speak English. You still had an English-only speaking.
Speak English, think English.
Indeed. And
it's an important, it's not only a language barrier, it's also a whole process of thinking. The Rebbe spoke very much like a Torah scholar. Your average American Jew thinks like a modern American person.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was it a language construct that we're bridging, we're talking about transforming a mindset. Speaking a Torah thought in American speech.
Okay, I was going to ask you, Ellie, about this actually, as a segue into the next thing. Translating is very hard. I can explain. I think I'm pretty decent at explaining. But for me to sit down and to come up with a translation, I know what the words mean, and I can translate when it says, Vayidaber, and he said. I can do that. But in trying to convey something which is readable, I've tried several times, and just like after I got done, I finished it, I did it, and then looked it over and realized that it was horrible. It was not a translation. I remember some of the early attempts by various individuals before Sichas in English at trying to translate. It just doesn't work. So how was it that Sichas in English, which is this idea of taking the Rebbe's talk and conveying them to the English-speaking world, come about? And how was your participation with it?
I'll tell you two stories. One story, my first interaction with Arye Kaplan Olbshom, tremendous writer and translator, not Lubavitch. He had a connection with Lubavitch, but not Lubavitch himself. I was working with Mizrayim, this was before I started my Rambam translation, and he was their writer. He did the Mamleis, which actually had the Swiss to finish. So the people in Mizraim told me, look, they don't even speak English. They're a major English publishing house, and yet they don't speak English. The actual directors don't barely speak English. So taking work to Eric Kaplan. So Eric Kaplan looks over at him and he says, well, you've got a certain skill with the English language, but this piece doesn't read. "Hey, you're Obamacare, aren't you?" "Yeah." "Well, would you say this, if you were trying to speak into Obamacare Common Sense for college students, would you say it the way you wrote it?" He says, "No, I'd say it straight. You know, like a person talking to a friend." He says, "So write it that way."
Mm-hmm.
And wow, that just changed the whole thing. But up until that time, Jewish translating was very much trying to sound as fancy and as educated as possible. He says, "Say what you mean. Talk it out." That was lesson number one, a fundamental lesson. Lesson number two, I got from one of my editors. He also passed away, David Grossman, all of the show, and the song. David was a brilliant guy. I showed him my work. He says, "Yeah, this is good. But, you know, Elliot, I don't understand this." I said, "David, it's so simple." I said, "Elliot, I don't understand it." "David, it's straightforward." "Elliot, listen, we got to work it over." And I said, "What do you mean, that look over?" He says, "Listen, I may not be as smart as you are, probably the smarter, but I may not be as smart as you are, but I'm not stupid. I'm at least as intelligent as 90% of the users. If I don't understand it, it means others won't either. You've got to work it over so it goes out of your subjectivity in a more objective form that everybody will understand." I stopped fighting with my editors at that time and from that time on, I started to listen. This project isn't mine. We have five people and more working over every article, every sikha. Because by balancing back and forth, getting this guy's input, that guy's input, it becomes readable to people at large. It's not just my talk over the idea. You take it from your own subjective perspective and communicate it in a way which a reader, any reader, can understand, not only people who think like you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's understood. Our guest today is Rabbi Eli Tauger. He has recently worked on translating Volume 1 of Likutei Sichos, sections of Likutei Sichos, Talks of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It is published by Sichos in English, Kahat Publishing, available at kahatonline.com, wherever you find Jewish books. So what always seems to impress me in translating is usually it's from Hebrew to English. And Hebrew is about a third of the length, character-wise, as English. But Yiddish is probably about 25 to 30% longer than English. So I would think then that the English works would take up less printed paper than the Yiddish ones. But this seems to be a very big tome. So if you could elaborate on that then.
Well, actually, part of the things we did here at our layout, our people did an amazing job. Itchy Turner has to be mentioned, because he spent hours balancing the column size, where the Yiddish, as I said, Yiddish is longer than Hebrew, but not as long as the English. Plus, in English, as I said before, we've got to not only translate, we've got to explain and teach. So the length of the English column is about two or three times the length of the Hebrew column. And each page, actually, you have to balance it out so it doesn't look like totally unbalanced one page to another, but each page is a slight variance in the column size. The layout people did an amazing job here making the work look nice. You could read it and like, oh, it doesn't, yeah, the Hebrew and English are balanced. Mm-hmm. How could that be? I just said, so the English is longer, is much longer. Oh, well, I thank those layout guys. That's a major point. You know, one of the things we worked very hard on this so that the layout would be user-friendly. You know, the Hebrew, the interpolated additions to the English translation, it's not just translation, it's a teaching. To get it right, like a lot of our previous works, we use brackets. You know, because we want people to see what was the Rebbe said and what was just added, because I think that's important to see what the Rebbe's words is and what the translator's words are. but you also wanted to read simply and comfortably. So you see these brackets, and the readers kept saying that the brackets are confusing, and they are. But wanted to make that distinction. So here we use bold and non-bold, and the text reads and flows gently, pleasantly. You know, the Kevlar guys just did an amazing job.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful work. I have a couple more questions about the layout and it. There are 39 volumes existent of Lakuti Sichos. Were you to translate all 39 volumes in the setup that it is now in this volume, which is volume one, how many volumes do you think it would take, Ellie Tarver? Approximately.
About 150 easily.
How many?
150.
That's a lot of shelf
space. Easily. No, we're not taking all 39 volumes. We pick three sichos from each chapter, from each parsha, which are representative, powerful insights, things that speak to the shama, at the same time speak to the mind. And this unique ability of, you know, on one hand, that I've sparked in the shama, on the other hand, he spoke intellectually. That was powerful. And we took three sichos from each parsha, which were representative of that for us.
Mm-hmm. So
on one hand, it's an external message. On the other hand, it teaches me something, an idea as well.
So even though this is Lakuti Sichos Volume 1, it's not taken from Volume Aleph of Lakuti Sichos necessarily.
Correct. It's, like I said, we selected three parshas, that's three sichos from each parsha, from all those from all the 39 volumes, so that you give it. There's no real way. I mean, a lot of the other sichos are tremendously in-depth studies, and each one is a treatise in its own right. In order to give something which let people have a sample of where they ever work, you just pick. You had to make this enough to. And the process selection goes back. You know, every week it takes about an hour discussing six people online, messaging back and forth before we begin to pick which three sichos we do. You know, it's part of the staff process that goes into this.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, let me tell you a story, and you can comment on it. When I first went to yeshiva, you and I went to the same yeshiva. You were ahead of me by, I think, a couple years. I went in the beginning of 1976 is when I first showed up in Rabbinical College of America in Morristown. And they had a system whereby an older student would kind of be like the mentor to a younger student. And they would like learn things with them and kind of tell them things like, you know, put your hat on straight, that kind of stuff. And I was learning at that time after the regular normal course of the, we called it the Seder, the day. I would sit down and I would learn. I was learning at that time with Moshe Traxler, who is now a Chabad representative in Houston, Texas. And
Moshe and I had a connection. That was his first Rosh Hashiva.
Uh-huh. Okay. So he's a very good guy. I love him to bits.
Special guy.
Yes. And so he, at one point he asked me, we're like been learning, and the way it was is that he would say, Farshtandik means understood. Vet means will be. And it was like one by one by one. And my first volume, Lakuti Sichos, is basically black with the graphite from the pencils. Writing in all the words so that I can eventually edit. And I did that probably for like 2 years before I could actually stop using the pencil. But at one time he asked me, he said, what's your goal in learning with me? Which is an interesting question. I thought, and I said, well, I want to be able to sit back and read a sicha like you would a story. And he looked at me straight in the eye and said, you will never be able to do that. And it kind of like, I had to think for a while and went, oh yeah, this is not storybook time. This is not grab a cup of tea and kick back in the lounge chair. So, in other words, the words of the Rebbe were there to be studied. So I'm looking here now and wondering the way in which this is presented. Can a person just kick back with a cup of tea in your new volume of Lakuti Sichos, Eli Tauger, or is this something in which still demands, even though it's English and it's done very well and presented in a very easy way to understand it, that it still demands to be studied, or both, or a combination thereof?
First of all, it depends on the Sikha. He told me a story, I'll tell you a brief Hasidic story. They asked the Chassid Rebbe, why don't you write a sefer? He says, I don't want a Chassid Nitzid and lie down on the couch here after the chill, don't touch Shabbos day, and they met with me. And he used a little bit more graphic language.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to a certain extent, my books, to make that as easy as possible. In other words, yes, it's got to be studied, but you know something? People don't like to study.
Okay.
On one hand, you've got to give people something that speaks to them so that they can read. On the other hand, and you want to go tell them to go deeper. That's what I want to do here. I want them to be able to read this. So, it sounds good. It's interesting. I can sit back and read it comfortably. And I can, there's something deeper there. That Rebbe said something that requires real thought. And then you get up from the couch and sit down at the table and think it over. That's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
And on the one hand, you can just say it as a board. No, you sit in the Shabbos, like you said before, you sit in the Shabbos dish. Condition, distill a board, give over something so a person could read through when he sees us. Hopefully, he's got a board for a Shabbos dish. Beautiful. I said, no, it's much deeper than a board for a Shabbos dish. It really requires deep thought. And so I want to get both stages.
Okay. So let me ask you then, when a person works in an author, a translator is working on a work, at some point, I don't know if it's at the beginning, since I've never authored a book and I have never translated a book, but I have done a lot of writing. What's your image when a person has completed reading that which you've worked on, and that person is going to say, I was impressed with this work because it. Could you fill in the blank, please? In other words, what are you trying to accomplish with when a person went out, they bought the book, Likutei Sichos, Breishis, selections from the Likutei Sichos, Insights of the Weekly Parsha by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kahot Publication, Sichos in English, translated by Elio Tager. Okay, what do you want people to walk away with when they've closed the book?
It spoke to my soul. My soul is on fire. But it's not just intellectual experience. My mind is working in a whole different framework than it did before.
That's a very impressive goal, Eli Tauger. Do you think, personally, in your humble opinion, that you're able to achieve that which the Rebbe was trying to convey, and you conveyed it to now the English-speaking public?
That is Chabad from the very beginning. A fusion of the Baal Shem Tov's Torah, which lit souls on fire, with the Alter Rebbe's influx of Chochma, Bina, and Das, wisdom, intellect, and understanding. The Rebbe was the Mamshich of both, the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. And our humble effort, best as we can, is to put that in English.
Okay, cool. I think you did a crackerjack job with this. This is really great. This is volume one, it's Breishis, so they're going to be five volumes, one for each book of the five books of Moses?
It's going to be definitely five, and hopefully six or seven, because we'll then go to
the holiday ones. Yes.
And then it's going to be second round, because like yesterday we were debating which sefers to do. We're already working on volume two, so we were debating which sefers to do for Yisro. And we have 15 sefers that are absolutely important, 10 which are little musts. We got to get to three.
Mm-hmm. Which one
so
do you cut out?
So we're expecting a second round after that.
Uh-huh. Okay. So this is going to take up a whole shelf when you guys are done. That's really cool. I'm very impressed. That's all they have time for in this segment. Again, the book is called Me'oitres Likutei Sichos, selections from Lakuti Sichas, insights into the weekly portion of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is from the first book, Bereishis Genesis. It is Kahat Publishing, available Kahat online or wherever else you get Jewish books. Eli Tarter, thank you so much for sharing insights and making us understand, allowing us to understand how this book really works.
Shabbos, best to you. Hope you enjoy it.
Okay, we will.
All Sichas are very powerful.
Indeed. We will reserve the right to call you back when Volume 2 comes out.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Shower. Next, for your listening pleasure, this is Avi Gertner. He's been around for a long time. He was actually part of like Miami's boys choir or yeshiva, but one of those little kiddie choirs. And he's been around. And this song is called Let's Give.
Everything's changed. So hard to see. There's a world of hope waiting behind the agony. There's too much to do, but too much to lose. My best bet for a better future is putting my money on you. The whole world is waiting for you to come change it. Is clear, 'cause every part of life is richer when you share. All we possess by divine command, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to lend a hand. Ten loy Michel loy Sheya.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Phil Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We usually play something klezmerish at this point of the show, but this is brand new. This is Billy Weber. It does have some Yiddish in it, so I hope that satiates the appetite of those klezmerin out there who will be sending me emails if I don't play something klezmer. So this is Barry Weber, and this is Give a Smile. That was Barry Weber, Give a Reason for Give a Smile. Next up, for your listening pleasure, nothing to do with giving. The first two of the theme was giving. This is Barcelona. This is not the same edition that was from the 60s, which I think was an old Ladino tune. But this is Moshe Peretz, and this is his rendition. Let's listen.
המבט שלך כמו חץ ב... נוגע כמו בסרטים הישנים אני נוסע וכל החברים אומרים הוא משתגע ועכשיו זה הזמן לשוב בחזרה מתגעגע לימים טובים לשעות קטנות שנעלמו ברגע של חולשה מתקשר אלייך לא עונה תמיד בממתינה עם מי את מדברת תגידי לי למי את מחכה ימים עוברים מטוס ממריא לברצלונה שולח לך ורדים קשורים בסרט תגידי איפה אם תסלחי לי ותתני עוד הזדמנות אחת אני אכתוב לך חיבוקים של אהבה זה הזמן לשוב בחזרה
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Elizabeth Keller. This week's parsha is the portion of Akev. It can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. We're the third portion in out of 12. In this portion, one of the highlights, we're still continuing with Moshe's farewell address to the Jewish people. And towards the end of the portion, Moshe commands the Jewish people to say the second paragraph of the Shema. As is known, V'hayim Shemoy, if you will surely listen to the commands. So there's a discussion, there's a lot of discussion about this paragraph in the Talmud. Especially the question is, how come in last week's portion, we had the first paragraph of the Shema, and in this week's portion, we have the second paragraph of the Shema. So the question is asked, why is the first paragraph first and the second paragraph second? When we recite this daily, twice a day. And you can't answer, well, because the first paragraph comes in the book of Deuteronomy before the second paragraph, because that just pushes the question back, well, how come the first paragraph is first in the book of Deuteronomy and not the second paragraph? So either way, we still have the question, whichever one is, but because in Judaism, the question is a question, why does something come in the order in which it comes? So the Talmud relates that The first paragraph talks about accepting the yoke of heaven, that we have to accept God as boss. In this paragraph, we're accepting the yoke of the mitzvahs, that we're going to do the commandments of the boss. And it makes sense to say that we'll do what the boss says, and then we'll accept the boss as boss, and then do what the boss says. It is with this reason in this verse, in this chapter, that we know that the book of Deuteronomy was said by Moses, but was really said by God through Moses. As it says that I will give you rain in its proper time. Moses was going to be passing away within the month. He wasn't giving anything to anybody. And Moses, for all intents and purposes, was God's ventriloquist dummy. He was moving his mouth, and it was Moses' voice that was coming out, but words were being put into his mouth directly by the Almighty. And here we're, it's an overall admonishment, as with anything else, specifically against idolatry, that the commandment of idolatry appears out of the 12 parshas, the 12 sections in the book of Deuteronomy. It appears 10 times. Moses says something about idolatry and how bad it is. And knowing that his customers were, because if you look at the book of Judges, which chronologically starts 14 years after Moses' passing, it starts basically the Jews forsook Hashem, which they forsook God. They went away from God, which means they got involved with idolatry. So Moses forewarns the Jewish people. You have to be constantly doing the right thing. In Judaism, we're not so much preoccupied with what happens if I do the wrong thing. Because we have, if you're worried about if statements already, you know, the statement, if my grandmother had wheels, would she be a bus? If we don't worry about so much if statements. What if I do the wrong thing? Don't do the wrong thing. We're focusing on doing the right thing. And that's the way this paragraph opens up. You'll follow the ways of God, and you'll serve God with your heart and with your soul. And even to the point of self-sacrifice. That's a dedication which is that Moses was demanded of us. And if we can maintain that focus and understand that everything that we're doing has to be somehow making the world a better place, then we're not going to have to worry about, well, what happens when I did the wrong thing, if I messed up? In this paragraph, there is repeated three commandments. The commandment of teaching your children the Torah, the commandment of putting on tefillin, and the commandment of the mezuzah. The commandment of teaching your children is obvious, because if you don't teach your children, how are they supposed to know? The Jewish people are in existence for 3,300 years based on this thing called tradition. What's the tradition? The tradition is not bagels and lox. Tradition is conveying that which Moses conveyed to his generation, who in turn conveyed it to their children's generation, who conveyed it in turn to their children's generation, and we're conveying it now to our children's generation. And the tefillin and the mezuzahs are those things which go on the doorposts, and tefillin are worn by men. The prayer in the morning are signs between us and the Almighty, that yes, we want to maintain that connection. With the tefillin, it's a daily exercise. With the house, it's easier. You put one on the house, but you don't forget about it. Put it up, forget about it. No, you don't forget about it. You're aware of it all the time. It says that when you're going in and when you're going out, you should acknowledge that you have this thing on your door. It's not an amulet. It's not a good luck charm. It's a way for us to connect to God, so that God is Shomer Dalsus Yisrael. It says on the outside of the mezuzah that the Almighty is the guardian of the doors of Israel. And how is that not through, as he said before, charms and good luck, but it's through our efforts in wanting to connect to Hashem. The basic line is the relationship that we have with God is the relationship that we make with the Almighty. And that's what this portion is about, and specifically about this portion of if you will listen to the commandments and follow in his ways. We're going to take a quick commercial break, come back with an exciting Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Schultzman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. I have a link right there. Get you right in touch to me. Hey, contact me. I'll answer, respond back. We'll become best friends forever. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? Well, we got archived editions of the show going back 3.5 years. Somebody told me on Tisha B'Av that they had nothing to do, and they just listened for hours and hours to the Jewish Hour to pass the time while they were fasting. More power to you. I'm glad you were able to do that. I'm glad we're here. We also have archived editions of various ways in which we present Judaism in an entertaining and interesting and quick form. Everything's, you know, when people are on the move, they can't do things for very long. So they're there at RabbiFinman.com. Want a little insight? Go to RabbiFinman.com. There's also the very important donations page. We've been on air 25 years plus and heading into 26. 26 is the numerical value of God's name. We'll explain that sometime probably in the future. And we've only been able to do it because people like you have gone to RabbiFinman.com, clicked on the donations page, picked a number to donate, picked your own number to donate. You can fill it in. There's lots of numbers in the universe. Donate it through PayPal, all very self-secure, and you can even do it on a monthly basis such that it happens without you even thinking about it. So you don't need to do thousands of dollars, although that would be greatly appreciated. You can do, say, even $5 on a monthly basis, $10 on a monthly basis. And then $10 every month is $120 a year. That's a tremendous gift for the Jewish Hour. So do that today. Go to RabbiFinman.com and donate today. Don't like internet giving? I understand. Send your donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Coming up this week at Jewish Ferndale, we got on my Facebook page, Herschel Finman Facebook page, we've got Tanya class on Monday night. We've got a book review on Tuesday night. Every Friday night, candle lighting time in Detroit. Hannah lights the candles with words of inspiration. So you want to check that out. So that's candles. And we'll keep you apprised over there. You can check out our website and our Facebook page for events that are coming and constantly happening still on Jewish Ferndale in 2D. We had over 450 people participate on Tisha B'Av. It's really amazing. Anyway, so there was a rabbi who lived about 200 years ago. His name was Simcha of the city of Bubraka. Bubraka, as far as we know, is east of Grosse Pointe Farms. He got really sick. I mean, like, really sick. He was not from the Hasidic persuasion, didn't believe in going to Hasidic rabbis for blessings, but his mother, seeing his condition, ran to the famed Rebbe Eli Melech of Lezhansk and said, please do something for my son. He's a great student. He's quoted in the Prima Gudin. He's a quite a scholar. So he told them, listen, your parets, your land overseer is going to have a big party next week. There's going to be three famous doctors that are going to come from Lvov. Go get them to come visit your son. They're going to examine him. They're going to say, there's nothing we can do for you, lady. Go get the burial society. On the way out, one of them is going to trip and fall. And as he gets helped up, he remembers suddenly that there is a medicine that would help your son. He prescribes to you the medicine. Your son is going to take that medicine, and he's going to go get better. And after he does, he should go visit my twin brother, Zusha. So all these things happened, and he got better miraculously. So on their way to visiting Reb Zusha, they stopped up in Lezhansk, and they said thank you for the rabbi for his blessings. And they met Reb Zusha of Lezhansk, Reb Zusha of Annapolis. And there in Annapolis, he was walking down the street, and it was a Friday afternoon, and someone came up to him, a nice, you know, nice guy, and said, do you have a place for Shabbos? And he said, no. He said, well, you'll come to me. Shimon, which is what his name was. So he said, okay. He asked one of the kids going by, who's Simcha, excuse me. Said, who's this person? He said, oh, that's Zusha. That's our Rebbe. He said, oh, he understood he's in the right place. So before Shabbos, Reb Zusha asked Reb Simcha of Bubraka, did you review the portion of the week? He said, no. He said, sit down and review it. He said, and afterwards, we're going to go to the mikveh. When they went to the mikveh, he said to Reb Zusha, said to Simcha, says, when I go to the mikveh, when I go in the water, which is a ritual or bath, you also come in with me and go out before I go out. So as they're walking back, so Reb Zusha asked Reb Simcha, if you could bring up the music behind me, Tony, or Eli, who's ever working the board now, do you have any more questions in the Talmud? And he couldn't think of any questions that he had when he was studying from his studies. And when he went and opened up the book that he was studying, he saw that all his questions had been answered. And he went on to become a great scholar. That's going to do it. That's the story. That's the show. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.